Well, the economic data, by the way, is just, not in good shape. We know that much. Ahead of the president, set to address the nation today. We'll see how that spin goes. But I want to dive into that from a statewide and also, of course, national perspective. Aaron Hedlund's joining us, chief economist at the Show Me Institute. He is on KCMO Talk Radio. They're a Missouri-based think tank. And Aaron, let's just start off big picture here. What exactly are we looking at with jobs report misses? I mean, where we're at right now. I mean, how dire is it versus what we're actually getting, it seems like, from the from many in media?
Well, first of all, hey, Pete, thanks for having me on. Unfortunately, it's just one broken promise after another from the Biden administration. I mean, we had, at the end of December, a job report that came out, first week of January, actually, and it came in less than half what people were expecting. So job growth is way below expectations. And then we also just found out that inflation was 7% in 2021, which, for reference, is the highest inflation in 40 years. And by the way, 40 years ago, when it was this high, it was on its way down. And it basically translates to a $900 inflation tax for the average worker.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at those numbers, first off, from a statewide perspective, is there anything right now that you would say, hey, the state of Missouri should be or can be doing fill in the blank? Or is this way beyond one state and something that really needs to be handled federally?
Well, certainly the best thing to do would be to remove the headwinds from federal policy. And so I guess the current good news, if you can call it that, because it's very temporary, is that the Build Back Badly bill, the multi-trillion dollar reconciliation bill in D.C., seems to be stalled. So if that doesn't pass, that's definitely good news, because that would basically double down on the failures of the past year. Because what we have is too little supply. Right? We have labor shortages and supply chain problems. And tax hikes and things like that would make that worse. So that would be great to do more pro-growth stuff at the federal side. But here in Missouri, we can still do some things, right? We can do things to encourage people to come back to work. And so, for example, the legislative session is about to start. So they should absolutely consider a number of things.
Now, when you look at that and we're saying, OK, what about the federal response here? Interest rates are getting a lot of attention. How can the Fed and how quickly do they need to act, in your opinion, to try to slow down some of the inflationary problems that we're dealing with? What does that look like from a Fed perspective?
Yeah, well, I think the Fed's going to start acting real quick. I think they've realized that they have fallen behind the curve. Inflation is not transitory. But the good news is they, I think, are taking it seriously now. They've already started kind of pulling back some of their extraordinary levels of support. The problem for the average American consumer, though, is it means interest rates are going to go up. Right? So borrowing costs are going to go up faster than they were before. And the only reason that's happening is because reckless fiscal policy put the Fed in the position that they had to work more aggressively.
Now, so are you thinking a quarter of a percentage point here in the coming weeks? Or are you thinking about, more than that? And then how quickly does that move throughout 2022? Because there are political ramifications, too, where it seems like the administration doesn't want that cheap money to go away anytime soon, especially not before November.
You're absolutely right. So first of all, I think we're going to see at least three or four interest rate hikes over the course of the year, which means that by the end of 2022, interest rates are going to be at least a percentage point higher than they currently are, potentially beyond that. And in fact, you've already seen mortgage rates go up by nearly a percentage point compared to earlier last year. So that's already starting to hit American consumers. You're right. I think the Biden administration doesn't like this, but they were the ones to mess up policy to begin with, right? If the Fed doesn't act, people suffer from the inflation tax. If the Fed does act, then interest rates go up. It's kind of a lose-lose.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when you basically have a reverse supply side agenda, which makes it hard for the economy to produce.
Is it too little too late, though? Or do you think that the rate hikes can actually slow this inflationary train down a little bit?
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Well, I think if the Fed really wants to, they could slow things down quite a bit. It's just the problem is it entails some degree of pain. So we'll see how well they calibrate that.
So what would that be? I mean, what kind of pain? How would you define if you Aaron Hedlund, Shelmy Institute, were in charge of the Fed today? I mean, what kind of pain are we talking about? Are you talking about like hiking things by a full point in the next couple of weeks to really try to slow this thing down, or is it something different or more?
Well, so first of all, I would say hopefully it doesn't come down to just the Fed. I suspect it may, but realistically, if we had pro-growth supply side policy from coming out of Congress, then we wouldn't have to go through the pain. That's not the only solution to inflation. But in the face of a Congress that's not going to do those things, one thing the Fed could do just to signal its toughness is when it announces that first rate increase, to announce a big one. Go ahead and announce a half a percentage point increase instead of just a quarter.
Yeah.
To really kind of say, hey, we're serious. The sheriff's back.
That would be great. I mean, that'd be a great place to start. I'd love to see that. Aaron Hedlund, Shelmy Institute, joining us on Kate. I mean, I don't want to see it. It's not great, but it's got to be done, right? And that's the reality that we're living through. And I think the politicians have to realize that as much as anybody, because they can try to soften these numbers as much as they want, Aaron. But I mean, when you're going to the food store and you're paying 7, 8, 9, 10% more than you were previously. Like the Biden administration can say, hey, the cheap money is good for us, but at what cost is it to people, in their own pockets, right?
Right. Well, I think the American public is realizing that the arguments coming out of the Biden administration are false. I mean, people, like I said, have paid a $900 inflation tax already. So that's what that is, right? If inflation stays high, then especially people at the bottom or seniors on fixed incomes, they're going to get hit really hard. So we need to end this. This is the lesson that we as a country learned in the late 70s. When inflation gets high, people start to expect it to stay high, and it becomes that much harder to slay. So this is why the Fed has to jump in right now and intervene in the absence of any kind of reforms coming from Congress.
And I don't know if you can speak to this, Aaron, but I want to ask you, and I know this gets a little bit into the weeds, but my understanding, and I haven't done deep dives into it, is that the way we calculate inflation as we sit here at 40-year highs actually is built now to make the number appear better than it actually is, because it saves the federal government money on things like Social Security, because they've got to pay more out as inflation goes up. Can you speak to that, and what insight can you provide on how they've maybe changed some of the formulas behind that?
Yes, I don't think they're purposely kind of deflating the numbers just to save themselves money. I mean, the Bureau of Labor Statistics has a team of, for lack of a better word, nerds, who are really diving into the data to figure this stuff out. And there's complicated issues to think through, like, a car today is not the same thing as a car 20 years ago because the quality has changed and things like that. I think one of the biggest points to look at, though, is housing. The way they kind of measure housing now is essentially owner equivalent rent, as opposed to just true house prices. And house prices, as I think everybody knows, are skyrocketing. The cost of housing is going way, way up. So you take that into account, then yeah, in some ways, inflation is higher than it seems.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Hedlund, Shelmy Institute economist. Great to have him on KCMO. Aaron, thank you for being here. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Aaron Hedlund on KCMO Talk Radio.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.